right, thank you very much, young people, for your music today. You can go ahead and join me in taking your Bibles and turning to Psalm 66. We'll get there soon enough, but it's good to be back at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And you know, no matter how your pastor treats me, I'm going to love him anyway. There's just some people in life, you just have to make up your mind to love them anyway. It's not hard to love Jody Jenkins, and I thank the Lord for what He is doing here at this church. Now, I'm going to tell you something that maybe at first I was a little bit hesitant to tell you, because I certainly don't want to imply that you've been doing things the wrong way. Every time I come to this church, you folks are so friendly and kind and gracious, but I told Pastor this morning, that coming here at church today and just coming through the front doors, whether it was the greeters, the ushers, the genuine friendliness of folks, it really made a marked impression on me this morning. Now, for those of you that are involved in those aspects of ministry, there just was really a crispness and a genuineness to it that I know that if the people of God appreciate, I think it's a great testimony too to those who come and visit for the first time. So I want you to know that doesn't go unnoticed. It's just nice to see teenagers that'll smile and look at you and say, "Hey, how are you doing today?" I mean, from the youngest to the oldest, it just seemed like that it was just something that really struck me this morning. I wish I found it in more and more places. And like I said, you folks have always been so kind and gracious, but this morning it just, I was really blessed just in going through and talking with various individuals. So helpful. And just know that that doesn't go unnoticed. And I think we as the people of God, we ought to be the most hospitable people in the world. And so you keep it up. And as God continues to work in the ministry here, there are things when you, sometimes when you come back to a church after a couple of years as an evangelist, sometimes you just notice things. And I want you to know, I just notice that I just really firmly believe that God is continuing to work and to see how some of you are stepping up. You continue to follow the Lord and take care of those things. And just a great blessing to be with you this morning. A lot of people are asking how Brother Comfort is doing. Brother Comfort is no stranger here at Buffalo Ridge. And I'm just going to tell you, the man's preaching just about as much as I've ever known him to preach. He's been on the road a lot. I think he'll actually be on campus this week for the first time since January. And so we're looking forward to having him back. And but Brother Comfort, Mrs. Comfort are doing well. And we thank the Lord for what He is doing at Ambassador. Now, I know some of you are counting this in my preaching time, all right? So shame on you if you're doing that. But I do feel an obligation just to tell you a little bit about what the Lord has done. Let me tell you about a big blessing that transpired at the end of 2014 that you folks had a part in, which we saw the Lord help us to eliminate $933,000 of indebtedness in less than 6 months' time. Now, finances are not the most important thing, all right? But when you pay the bills, you know it does carry a little bit of weight on your heart. And for years, I'd been praying, "God, we have almost $1 million of indebtedness, and we've not done it recklessly, but Lord, I sure would love to get out from under that." And I'll never forget, I was preaching at a camp in Arizona, and my business manager called me, and first of all, I was in Massachusetts, and then I was in Arizona after that. And in Massachusetts, I was in an upstairs bedroom, and he called me. He said, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "Well, I'm not, but I can be." And he said, "There's a lady in Florida that has gifted the college some money," and he said, "It's a considerable amount." And as soon as he told me the amount, I said, "I know what we need to do with it. We've got to go after that indebtedness." And so we were able, as a result of that gift, to put $500,000 down in one payment on that indebtedness. And it was soon thereafter that the thought occurred to me. I said, "Lord, would you just like to pay all of this off? I don't want to be ungrateful. I'm not ungrateful. And Lord, if you just want it to be $500,000, I'm fine with that." And 2 or 3 weeks later, a gentleman called me and he said, "I hear that the college is trying to get out of debt." I'm not sure what angel told him that, but I'm glad he did. And he said, "Well," he said, "tell me a little bit about the school and tell me about what your plans are." And I told him, and he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "How much do you have left?" I think it was $433,000. He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "If you can raise over the next 3 to 4 months $183,000, he said, "my group and I will pay the last $250,000 of your indebtedness." Now, there was a part of me that was turning cartwheels, Brother Lashley. I thought, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And there was another part of me that was scared to death. $183,000 in like 3 months' time? How can that happen? I'd never seen anything like that happen. But the truth is, I'd not seen anything happen like that in the months before either. And so the Lord led us to go through with it. And it was on December of 29th of 2014, we received the last $30,000 needed to totally pay that off. And it's something that I will never forget. And I'm very grateful for the prayers and for the giving of God's people all over the country. It enables us to serve these young people better. But I hope that you'll rejoice with us in that and know that God is able to meet your needs too. Sometimes we're not sure how it may happen, but what a great lesson it was that God taught me. But I want you to know that as great a blessing that is, I'll tell you, the greatest work that takes place at Ambassador is not financial, it's spiritual. Folks, listen, if you've watched the debates and you've seen the polls and you've read the papers, you've got to come to the conclusion that this country is in need of revival. And I want to say to every young person in this room, now some people accuse me of thinking that every young man ought to be a preacher and every young lady ought to marry a preacher. I really don't believe that, but I'll tell you what, every one of you ought to be willing. And I'll tell you what, I can't help but think in a place like this, there's some young men, God says, I want you to be a pastor, I want you to be an evangelist, I want you to be a missionary, and you need to step out beyond your fear and do the will of God. There's some of you young ladies in here, you may not think you're worth much before God, and maybe you have a problem with your self-esteem. You say, well, I can't do anything for God. Listen to me. If you're here this morning and not a sparrow can fall to the ground without God's notice, you better believe He cares about you. And you better believe, young lady, that if you're yielded to Him, God can use you to impact and influence people that you never thought if you'll have a willing heart. And I'll tell you, there are young people that are sitting here among us and stood before you today that when they came, they probably thought they were insufficient. But you know what made the difference? It wasn't their talent and their ability. It was the call of God. And I believe, somebody said, I'm praying we have some real statesmen and politicians. Well, you know, I'm praying we have statesmen too, but I'm telling you, I'm praying we have more preachers. Young ladies who just have a reckless abandon of trusting God. And if you're here this morning and God has called you into full-time ministry, or you say, I want to get a solid Bible foundation, I want to encourage you to consider Ambassador. Our campus is filled with young people that love God, and I believe love His work and love His Word. And if you're here and you want to get a good Bible foundation for ministry, I promise you this, we'll take you from Genesis to Revelation, book by book, in the classroom and give you more Bible in 4 years than any other Bible college. I'll promise you that we'll teach you to have a faithfulness in the local church, being involved in more than 20 different independent Baptist churches within a two-hour radius of the school, and learning how to not only what you're learning in the classroom, but performing it in the ministry of the local church. And so I hope that after the service, if that's you, stop by the table and see us. We've got some information about the college, several books that are available on the back table. There are two new releases, one by Dr. Charles Surrett on how to know the will of God. He deals with the passages in the Scripture about how that individuals can come to know the will of God for their lives. It's a very important book. His wife, Mrs. Surrett, Roseanne Surrett, has written a ladies' book. There's some of you ladies that are into that. You stop by the table and you can see that as well. And numerous recordings from the college that we've made available through the years that are back there. And so see the young people after the service. And I want to thank you for your involvement and your prayers for the ministry of Ambassador Baptist College. Now, with all of that said, now you can start the preaching time, all right? So, with that being said, Psalm 66 this morning, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 17. Psalm 66 in verse number 17, the psalmist writes, I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. And this morning I want to speak to you on this subject, powerful prayer. In verse 17, he says, I cried unto Him with my mouth. What was he talking about? He was talking about the practice of prayer. As we look in the dark day in which we live in our country, many of us would agree together. We would say, I've never seen the likes of what is taking place in our country. I would have to say that, and I believe many of you in this room would say the same. But do you know, when you read the Old Testament, and you also look throughout Christian history, listen, you find that even in the darkest of times that God is able to send revival. It may be a king that all of a sudden has the determination not to turn to the left or turn to the right, but to heed the book of the law. But in Christian history, I remember reading about the revival that took place in the nation of Wales in the early 1900s. A man by the name of Evan Roberts was greatly known in that revival and how God used him as a human instrument. But do you know that a long time before that revival came, I am convinced that Wales was a place saturated with powerful prayer. Ladies would gather together in unscripted, unorganized prayer meetings, and in a spontaneous fashion, these ladies would gather together and they prayed that God would move very mightily in their land. Sometimes it said, as people overheard those ladies pray, that all they could hear were those ladies would repeat three words in brokenness. Lord, bend us. Now, some people might jump on them and say, you know what, I think that's a bunch of vain repetition. I want you to know those ladies prayed it with brokenness. They prayed it with weeping. It wasn't vain repetition. It was the burden of their heart. Have you ever had a time where you could only pray one thing and that was on your heart and you over and over and over, you begged God? Folks, I really believe that one of the answers that's going to change this country is when we in our churches abandon some of our criticism, and that sometimes is very rightful and very just, but that we would devote more energy into powerful prayer than prominent criticism of what's happening. I'm not saying this morning that we ought not have righteous indignation. I'm not saying this morning that we ought not feel a little bit uncomfortable in the world in which we live and voice our opinion. But folks, I'm afraid that some people are more active on the political front than the spiritual one. Some of you grandparents, you say, I don't want my children to live in a different America. I want them to know what some of these things are that I experienced, and I don't want them to have to live with all of this wickedness. Then grandparent, be given to powerful prayer. Some of you parents say, I don't want my children to be raised in a world of uncertainty. Then it behooves us this morning to be given to powerful prayer. Just how powerful is prayer? I think one of the most noted illustrations of it is in Elijah's day, as the prophet had the showdown with the prophets on Mount Carmel. Do you remember that? One Jehovah prophet going up against hundreds of the prophets of Baal. If you remember the story, they said, we're going to see whose God is really God. Elijah said, all right, you go first. And so an altar had been constructed. And do you remember what the prophets of Baal did? They called to their false god, and just as to be expected, absolutely nothing happened. And so they began to get upset. They jumped up and down. The Bible says that they cut themselves. They screamed. They begged. And absolutely no fire came from heaven. And there's the old prophet, Elijah, watching it all happen. I don't know if it was with a hint of sarcasm, but perhaps he just leaned up over against a sycamore tree and he just happened to say something to inflame them greatly. Hey, boys, maybe your God's on a journey. Oh, that's just saying maybe he's on vacation. And then to inflame them even more, he said, hey, boys, maybe your God's asleep. Elijah knew full well not only did he have a God who did not sleep, he didn't even slumber. And after watching the show for a while, Elijah said, my turn. And then Elijah had them do something that was very particular. Do you remember? Before he called on God to send the fire down, he had them wet that altar repeatedly. And let me tell you, as we would say in Tennessee and North Carolina, they wet it sopping wet. And you know that wet wood doesn't burn. Why in the world did Elijah do that? I'm going to tell you why. Because Elijah wanted the world to know that God was the one who did this.
I'll be honest, I look at what's happening in our country and how it seems like it is so sopping wet with wickedness. But I'm telling you something, when God does something, the whole world will know it. It'll stand in great contrast. And so then finally, after the altar was wet, the Bible says that he prayed. And the fire fell. You know, I believe prayer can be just as powerful this morning as it was in Elijah's day. Folks, I'll tell you, we don't need ritualism. We don't need this memorized stuff that we've become accustomed to all our lives. Listen to me, every one of us in this room, there's a need for powerful prayer. But how do you have it? Do you go to Walmart, buy it in a bottle? We're so spoiled, aren't we? I heard a guy down in Florida just last week. I was down there and he said, I'll tell you what, as long as I've got a Walmart, I can live, he said. I can live without Walmart. But you can't buy it in a bottle. You know what? You have to let God work in your heart. You have to let the Holy Spirit have His way. I want to ask you this morning, do you have powerful prayer in your life? When's the last time you asked God for something and He did it? When is the last time there was a big task before you and you said, God, you're the only one who can do it, and He did it? And so I want you to see powerful prayer in the life of this psalmist. We begin by seeing, number one, the cry of prayer when he said, I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. You ever cried unto God? You know, the idea here in the psalm, it's not just the idea of a literal weeping and crying, although that's in many contexts, that's what it can be interpreted as. It literally has the idea of calling unto the Lord. Here's the question, when's the last time you've cried to God? When's the last time you've talked to Him? There have been times where I've literally wept as I cried to God when my heart was broken, saying, God, I don't know what else to do. There have been times where I felt like in my life I had no more tears to weep and my throat was so swollen because of all the weeping that there was not a thing that could come out of my mouth, but yet in my heart I cried to God. There have been times I've had emergencies where I was like, Lord, I need Your help right now. I mean, just said it out loud. You said, did you do that? I really did. And the truth is some of you have too. But he said, I cried unto Him with my mouth, signifying the cry of prayer. Now, before I go any further in this message, I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to make a statement and I'll explain it. You know, I believe that there are a lot of people that are calling on the Lord in America today, but there's one big problem, they don't know Him. You know, it's impossible to have powerful prayer and for God to hear that cry of prayer unless, first of all, He's your Father. And you're His child. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. 1 John 3:1, the Bible says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, you might have a lot of titles. Some of you say, I'm a father. You say, I'm a business owner. You say, I'm a manager. I don't care what your title is. If you leave this service this morning and the title, the Son of God, does not apply to you, you've missed it. I remember one time I was in the grocery store with my wife. If I go with my wife to the grocery store, I do it because I love her. Not because I love the grocery store. Listen to me, life is too short to stand there trying to figure out whether I'm going to buy the 64-ounce ketchup or the 48-ounce ketchup. You know, ladies, one of the biggest ways you can embarrass your husband is stand for what seems like hours at the cashier's register hunting through your purse for coupons that are expired. You don't know how it hurts us men. We have to go through such embarrassment. But I remember one time I was going to the store with my wife. And I, you know, if it doesn't have a hunting and sporting section, if it has a cereal section, that's where I'll go while she does all of her other stuff. I was standing there, I was looking at various items, and all of a sudden, I'll never forget, there was a little 6, 7, 8-year-old girl. She was backing up, she wasn't looking my way, and she just kept reaching like this. And finally, she brushed up against me, and she grabbed my britches leg, and she tugged down, and I looked down at her, and she looked up at me, and then all of a sudden, she took off like a shot. I mean, running down the aisle, saying, "Daddy, Daddy, where are you?" But you know, that was quite a natural reaction. Why? Because I was not her dad. But you know, I'm afraid that there are a lot of people, I know they're well-wishing, well-meaning. I think they try to be honest and sincere. But I'm telling you, even in an auditorium like this morning, there are some of you, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know that you're a child of God, and you find yourself in the jams of life, and you do what many people do. You call to God. But can I tell you, He needs to be your Father. If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I pray, and it seems like my prayers never get above the ceiling." It may very well be because this morning God says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And He says, "Come unto me this morning." But this cry of prayer, it's a sign of desire. The psalmist desired God. That's why he called unto Him. Psalm 63:1, "O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Psalm 84:1, "How amiable or how lovely are Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My flesh and my heart crieth out for the living God." Do you know why people talk to God? Because they want Him. Because they want to approach Him, because there are needs, because there's a relationship that's there. I want to ask you this morning, how is your desire for God? This morning in the men's Sunday school class, I talked about Samson. You know what Samson's problem was? He had a greater desire for gratification than he did for God. And it killed Samson, and it'll kill you. It'll kill me. Has there ever been a time in your life where you desired Him more than you do right now? Hey, I'm talking to some of you. Maybe you look back in the past and you say, "Brother Bill, I want you to know there was a time in my life where I was on fire. There was a time in my life where I sensed a great closeness to God. And yet you sit here today with great distance." And I'll tell you, one of the ways in which that distance is manifested, it's in your prayer life. You know why we pray to God? We pray to God because we desire Him. Can I tell you this? You know why we don't pray to Him? Because we don't desire Him. You see, I'm afraid we desire a lot of other things other than God. I want to ask you this morning, how's your desire? It's a sign of desire. That cry of prayer is a sign of dependency. You know, when you have children, you learn all of a sudden people become dependent on you. You know, I long for the days when my children said, "Dad, can I have a dollar?" I'd give my son Jared a dollar bill. He'd walk into the Dollar General and felt like he was a millionaire. Boy, those days are gone. They don't sell iPods in dollar stores. You know why? Because it takes about 100 and so to get one of those. And the older they get, the more they want. But I'll tell you, to have that dependency, that child comes to the parent and says, "I need this." You know what God says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16? He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Listen, there may be a hurting soul in this room this morning. Maybe you're in the midst of a problem of a family member. You're in the midst of an issue where there's a great hardship that's imposed upon your life, and you say, "Brother, I've got a need in my life that no amount of money can fix." Go to the throne of grace and find that grace that you need. There's some of you, you heard an ache in the middle of the night and you say, "Oh, I'll tell you what, nobody knows the pain that I'm dealing with." God says, "Come boldly under the throne of grace and you'll find grace to help in time of need." But it's not just a sign of dependency, it's also a sign of delight. "I cried unto Him with my mouth and He was extolled with my tongue." What does the word extol mean? It's just an old English word. It means to lift up. What was he saying? He was saying, "With my mouth, I'm going to lift up God." You know what we're really good at? We're really good at lifting up our problems, aren't we? You ever talk to somebody and said, "How are you doing?" and then wish you hadn't? Now, I realize everybody has a bad day, but some people just have a bad life. I'll give a person one or two times, but you talk to somebody and they're like, "Oh boy," and they're just always down. They're always critical. The glass is always half empty. There's never enough. But I'm telling you, instead of lifting up your problems, listen to me, you ought to leave here lifting up God. It's a lot healthier for you. He said, "I lifted up the Lord with my tongue. It was a sign of delight." You know, you need to come to the Lord with your problems, but it won't hurt you to come to Him with your praise either. And so often we get imbalanced and lopsided with that. I'm talking to some pessimists here. I'm telling you, you better start praising God now, or when you get to heaven, you're going to be in for culture shock. Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." The old preacher, Lester Roloff, one time while he was preaching, I so enjoyed many times how he would put things. It was just, I'm just from farm fella from the rural part of North Carolina. I love simplicity. Listen, if you can describe it in tractors and bib overalls, I can understand it. And Lester Olof, he had such an approach. One time a lady came up to him after a service and she said, "You know what, you're so narrow-minded." He said, "I know, ma'am, I'm on a narrow way." I thought, that's the way you need to put that. I like that. One day Lester Olof put it like this. He said, "Don't you go to praising the Lord on Sunday if you can't praise Him on Monday when the clothesline falls in the mud." All that is a paraphrase. I will bless the Lord at all times. Isn't that what Job did? A man who suffered more loss than maybe probably anybody else in this room. Material possessions dashed, children gone, and hearing a wife sing this chorus, "Curse God and die." He said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, for somebody here, it may be instead of just exalting your problems all the time, you just need to talk about the Lord. You need to tell Him what He means to you. That's the cry of prayer. Hey, you can't have powerful prayer if you don't have the cry of prayer. When's the last time you've just talked to God, just the two of you? How often do you talk to Him? Is it heartfelt? The cry of prayer. But I also want you to see the condition of prayer. That's in verse 17 or verse 18. He says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now therein is the condition of prayer. I was raised in a home. My dad, while he was not, he had a lot of faults and failures. He drank heavily, and I was raised in a home that exposed me to things. But I'm going to tell you, in spite of that, he taught me a few things, and he taught me what a condition was. He believed in corporal punishment. Now, I thought it was capital punishment sometimes, but it was really corporal. But he would teach me what a condition was. At an early age, he'd say, "Boy, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this." And that "I'm going to do this" part was usually unpleasant. God lays out a condition. Every person in this room can understand a condition. If I regard iniquity in my heart, that word "regard" literally means to look at with favor. My son Jared, when he was a couple of years old, we were in a house that we lived just right up the road from the college, and he was standing in the living room. My wife had a glass candy bowl, and it had glass pieces of candy in it. And Jared had shoved his hand down in there, and he was moving that glass around. It just got on my nerves a little bit, and I turned around. I looked at him. I said, "No, stop that." He pulled his hand out. Now, I don't know what you do in your household, but in the Beal household, instead of putting everything on top of a refrigerator that we didn't want them to touch, we thought it was just a lot easier to tell them what "no" meant and teach them. And I'll tell you, when you raise your kids that way, when you take them to somebody else's house, you don't have to put everything on top of the refrigerator there either. But I'll never forget, I thought, I'm going to try a little experiment with this fella. I'll never forget, I folded my arms and I just turned away from him to where in my peripheral vision I could still see him and I could still see that bowl. And I thought, I'm going to watch this fella. I'll never forget what I saw. Boy, Jared looked down at that bowl, and he looked up at me. He looked down at that bowl. He looked up at me. Then he looked down at that bowl and smiled as big as he could smile and looked up at me. And you know what happened after that? Yep, he stuck his hand right back down in there, didn't think I was looking. That boy's got a lot of human nature just like his dad and other people in this room. Now I want to ask you a question. When did he commit the offense? Somebody casually might say, well, brother, I'll tell you when it was. It was when he stuck his hand back in that bowl. I'd say you're about 5 seconds too late. It's when he regarded it in his heart. Now, folks, I want to say something that ought to scare every one of us to death a little bit. Christian, God knows what's in our hearts this morning. Brother Gary can lead us in a hymn and we can sing it with a smile on our faces. You know how we come to church with our game face on? Some of you are like, I don't know what you're... Yes, you do. Greeter sees you, shakes your hand. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. Boy, we're glad to be here. And you'd stepped on the cat, you'd burnt the toast, your children had a hissy fit in the car, and you come in like you've been made over, all fresh and anew. You find yourself pretending to be something that you're not. You come into church and, you know, we sing the hymns. Man, we participate in the services. We greet each other. But when it's all said and done, God knows what's in my heart of hearts. God knows when I have aught against a brother. God knows when the entertainment of this world has a stronghold in my life. God knows when my heart is filled with worry. God knows when anger has gripped my soul. And even before it is outwardly manifested, powerful prayer is killed by the desires of the heart. Too often we don't identify sin until it's too late. You know all it takes for you to kill a prayer? You don't have to kill a person to not be able to pray and reach God. All you got to do is have animosity in your heart towards somebody. You may not tell a soul. Maybe over the weekend already there's some things that have entered into your life. And listen, you come and you know that there's a filth in your soul and you need to be cleansed from it. Listen, it'll hinder you. If I regard iniquity in my heart, what is God's definitive statement? The Lord will not hear me. And it's worded in such a way that it was written by the psalmist that it's very emphatic. You ever had somebody say something emphatic to you? Sometimes around Valentine's Day, the sap begins to rise on campus at Ambassador. People begin to wonder, am I going to die an old maid? I'm 17. But it's not just the ladies. Sometimes it's the guys. Sitting in the dorms, arm folded. I'm 19 years old. Single. Destined to a hermit's life. But you know, through the years at Ambassador, I've seen during Valentine's Day, I've seen some pretty brutal rejections. Sometimes I've seen a guy, now he'll go up to a young lady and say, could I take you to the banquet? And she might say, you know, I really appreciate you asking, but I just don't think it would be good, but thank you for asking. Well, the guy walks away from that thinking, well, I've at least got a shot next year. But I'm going to tell you, I have seen a few. The guy came up and said, hey, could I take you to the banquet? And before the t came off of his tongue, she said, no. Uh-uh. Nada. Yet, never. I mean, there was no bending there. I mean, he walked away and just soon just go to sleep. How firm is this? Now, it's not that God's saying this. God is not saying, listen, Stephen, if you mess up, I'm never going to hear you again. No, this is what he's saying. As long as you regard iniquity in your heart, I'm not bending because the condition's not met. So what does that mean? I'm talking to people here this morning. Listen to me. You come to your heart. Listen, after a hard week, you come on a Sunday morning and you say, God, I need help. God's saying this. If you want to get it, humble your heart, confess, and forsake your sin. But as long as you regard that iniquity in your heart, as long as you justify it, I will not hear you. So I wonder how many of us this morning would just be honest. and say, I know these things aren't right in my heart. God, I can't afford to go another week without hearing from heaven and, Lord, without talking to you. I wonder how many are willing this morning to set aside that thing that they've regarded so that they can talk to the Lord and God will hear their prayer. Have you ever thought about what all we miss whenever we love iniquity and sin more than we love God? Years ago, I lived in a mobile home that was right in the center of campus. It's right where the second girls' dormitory is at. I remember one day I'd just gotten home. It was a long day. I talked to a lot of guys about a lot of different things. I was never so glad to be home, and my wife was cleaning the bathroom. I came in and I talked to her, set all my things down. My son Andrew was just a couple of years old or so, and played with him. I talked with her, and about that time there was a knock at the door. I said, all right. So I went there, and there was a guy. He came. He said, hey, Brother Bill, I've been looking for you all day. He said, I really need to talk to you. I said, all right. I said, hold on just for a second. So I went, and I talked to my wife in the bathroom, and I said, honey, you mind? She said, no, I'm busy right now. You go ahead, and it'll be okay. I said, I'll be back in a few minutes. And so as I was coming out, I told my son Andrew, I said, son, I've got to go for a few minutes. And when I told him that, and parents, you know the feeling, I just remember watching his shoulders go, ugh. So, you know, once I picked my heart up off the floor, I looked at him. I said, I'll tell you what, son, on my way back, if you want, I'll go by a gas station and I'll get you something. Would you like that? Boy, his big blue eyes shot open. He said, yeah. I said, what would you like? And his vocabulary is very limited. But he looked at me and he said, sucker. I said, all right, I'll get you a sucker. And so I went out with this young man. We drove around, solved the problems of the world. And about that time, I said, oh, I've got to go by the gas station. I'll never forget. I went by the gas station. Went in there. I found the sucker that I thought he would like. And on the way back up, I saw a bag of cotton candy. And it was sitting there, and I thought, you know, he's never had cotton candy. It needs some pure, unadulterated sugar. I thought, man, this is great. And I can still remember, as a dad, my feeling for my son, sucker in one hand, bag of cotton candy in another, putting it on the counter with a big smile, and the lady probably thinking, you're really weird. Put it in a bag, hopped in the car, and dumped that guy out at the dorm, and I remember pulling that Chevy Celebrity up to the driveway. I put that thing in park, and steps had three steps to go in the back door. I probably only hit one or two and bounded in the back door with that bag behind there. And I came with that bag behind my back. Now, before I left, I told my son, I said, if you're good, I'll get you something. As I made my way into the living room, as I was about to spring on him that sucker in cotton candy, the long arm of the law came out of the other bathroom. And my wife greeted me with these words, honey, he's been bad. Boy, part of me just wanted to say, just go back in that bathroom, I'll take care of this. But I knew the moment I did, I'd lose her respect and I'd hurt him as well. And I'll never forget that day taking my son on my knee after putting that back up in the cupboard, and I said, son, let me tell you a verse. You don't understand it right now, but one day you will. And it's Jeremiah 5:25, when Jeremiah said, your iniquities have turned away these things and your sins have withholden good things from you. I want to beg you this morning, if you leave this auditorium and you're not right with God, can I tell you, you have no idea what you're missing. Why regard it in your heart? That's the condition of prayer. But then last of all, and very quickly, I want you to see confidence in prayer. Notice his attitude in verse number 19. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Have you ever talked to somebody and wondered whether or not they heard you? Some of you are like, that's a story with my husband. I never know if he hears me or not. Sometimes you talk to your children. Hey, have you ever gone down the road, you're on the phone, and you find that you've been talking to yourself for 5 minutes because Verizon doesn't have the coverage you thought? Been there, done that. But can I tell you, if you're here this morning, you're saved by the grace of God, and you're right with God, listen to me, you can have every confidence that God hears your prayer. Now here's my question. Can you say this morning, but verily God hath heard me? He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Somebody busted through those back doors and said, hey, I'm telling you right now, you've got a loved one in the hospital and they need your prayer right now. Listen, would, as the old preachers used to say, are you on praying ground? Folks, we can talk a lot about the needs in this country and the needs in the White House, but I'm convinced until there are choruses of powerful prayer rising up in our churches, we're not going to see a thing happen. We say we want revival. I'll tell you, if we really want revival and a working of God, then we'll have calloused knees instead of calloused hearts. We say that we want a better generation for our families that are below us, that are younger. We want them to live in a country and not have to experience the throes of wickedness. Then that would mean that every one of us would throw ourselves upon powerful prayer. You know where a lot of lies are told? Some of you say, I'll tell you where they're told. They're told in Washington, D.C. And you're right. Without a doubt, you're right. Somebody would say, I'll tell you where a lot of lies are told. They're told at the barber shop I go to. Listen, I've been in there before, and first the fish was that long, and by the time it was over with, it's a world record. And I imagine the same thing happens in beauty shops. But as we close this service this morning, we ought to be honest. You know where a lot of lies are sung? In places just like this. We sing, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way, when His way is the farthest thing from our minds. We sing, I surrender all, when the truth is we surrender little. Can I tell you, there's a song where I have had to find myself sometimes not even singing because the Spirit of God convicted my heart. You say, what song is that? Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer that calls me from a world of care. A preacher not even being able to sing during an invitation. Folks, I believe there's hope for our country. I believe that we can see God do some amazing things, but I don't believe it's going to happen until people like us get to a point of brokenness where we return to powerful prayer. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. Let's bow together in prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In a moment, we'll have an invitation song. My friend, if you want to have powerful prayer, you've got to first of all begin by knowing Christ as your Savior. One of the most frustrating things you'll ever try to do in life is try to live like a Christian when you're not. I wonder how many of you in this room this morning, you'd say this, you'd say, Brother Bill, I'm here this morning, and I'll tell you, there's been a time in my life where I trusted Christ as my Savior, and as I sit here today, I can tell you I'm a child of God, not because I'm a church member, not because I've been baptized, not because I come from good stock, but because there was a time in your life where you trusted Christ as your Savior, and this morning you'd say, Brother Bill, I know that I'm a child of God. There's no doubt about it. That, would you slip your hand up this morning? Just slip it up high and keep it up just a moment if you can say that. All right, thank you. You may put them down. I want Pastor Jenkins to help me this morning as I ask this next question. Listen, am I talking to some people here? You say, preacher, I'm going to tell you what, I've never had powerful prayer, and you know the reason why. You're like the little girl in the grocery store. You've been calling to somebody who's not your father. And maybe this morning the Holy Spirit, for the first time in your life, or maybe He, as He has done repeatedly, has brought to your mind and your attention that you need to be saved. I'm telling you, you can leave this place with powerful prayer if you'll humble your heart and call upon the Lord to save you. I wonder how many here this morning, you'd say this, you'd say, preacher, I'm here this morning, and I'm either not sure or I know that I'm not saved and I don't want to leave this place without having powerful prayer, and you'd say, I'm either not sure, I know that I'm not saved. This morning, God has dealt in my heart, and preacher, God has dealt in my heart. I'm either not sure, I know that I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up, slip it up high? Would you do it just right where you're at? Just slip it up high, long enough for me to see it in this auditorium. Anybody like that as I wait just a moment? Just slip it up high. Anybody like that? I want you to know that, all right, thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else along with this one? I want you to know that whether you raised your hand or not, if you're here and God's dealing in your heart about salvation, He wants to call you son. He wants you to call Him Father. And in a few moments, when we have this invitation, I'm going to invite you to step out from your seat, come and see Pastor Jenkins, and we'll have somebody take you aside and show you from the Bible how you can know Christ as your Savior. And when the invitation is given, I'm going to encourage you to step out right wherever you're at and to come and to see Pastor. Now, I want to ask this question. I wonder how many here this morning, you'd say, Brother Bill, I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God. But I know that I really don't have much powerful prayer in my life. I may be talking to somebody here. Listen, you've been much closer to God in the past than you are right now. I'm talking to somebody else. There's a specific sin in your life you know that is holding you back. I'm talking to others here. Listen, you haven't spent much time in prayer. It's not a priority in your life. You can't have powerful prayer if you don't have prayer at all. Now, I wonder, with all that being said, how many Christians here this morning, you'd say, Brother Bill, I know I'm saved, but I want you to know God has dealt in my heart about a matter concerning powerful prayer. I know that I need it, and I know that I need to let God work in my heart. He's dealt in my heart specifically this morning as a Christian about powerful prayer. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up this morning? Slip them up high, all over the auditorium. Thank you. You may put them down. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something. We're going to stand together, and I'm going to have a brief word of prayer. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And you know what? If you'll do that, God made you a promise. He'll lift you up. And let's gather as we close this service this morning and say, God, help us to leave with a greater dependency. God, may you work powerful prayer in my life. Whatever that area is, don't be ashamed. I encourage you to step out and come. And let's come boldly under the throne of grace this morning. Would you join me in standing, our heads bowed, our eyes closed? Father, as we conclude this service, Lord, I pray for your people. Lord, I pray this morning that we would have a tenderness and a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. And I pray that in the fleeting moments, Lord, of this invitation, Lord, may we humble our hearts. Lord, may we admit our distance from you. And God, may we all leave this place with powerful prayer, seeking for you to do great things. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as our musicians play the song of invitation. God's dealt in your heart this morning and you need to come. I invite you just to do so right now. Would you do it? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. In just a moment, Brother Gary's going to lead us in that familiar song, Have Thine Own Way. And in a moment when we sing, listen, if you need to come, I encourage you just to step out right where you're at and come. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. If you know it, I encourage you to sing it. If not, you hum the tune. Why don't you come this morning as Brother Gary leads us?
Have thine own way.
As they continue to play, in a moment we'll be dismissed and pastor will close. I want to encourage you in this. As you leave this service this morning, know whether or not you have powerful prayer. If you're here and it's been a long time since you've seen God answer something, listen, that's not powerful prayer. You find yourself very infrequent in seeking God, that's not powerful prayer. Know that there's a specific sticking point in your heart and there's a burden that you're carrying, you can't have powerful prayer. Brother Jenkins, if you'd close the service as you see fit.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to
have Brother Gary sing one more verse here momentarily. I was thinking as he was speaking, there's going to come a time in all of our lives when we've got to get a prayer through to God. We need to know that our hearts are in the place where He hears our prayers. And today you need to be saved. You come. Or maybe you have something on your heart that you really need to pray right now. You've got something right now that you need God to hear. As Brother Gary sings, if you want to come, I want to give you one more opportunity. Nobody comes, we'll be done. Let's sing
have
one more verse.
Thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow.
Through softly. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, except for the altar workers. While we help, we lead here. Let me go ahead and dismiss Dr. Beal and the ambassador group to go out to the lobby. I want our folks to greet you on their way out. If you are visiting with us today, thank you for being here. God bless you. Please take your visitor's card out to the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift just to say thank you. Soul Winning Seminar tonight at 5:30. And Senior Saints Ministry Meeting right after this service, right in here, okay? Everybody understand all these things? Thank you for being here. God bless you. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Brother Scott Martin, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us, please.